Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians 4 verses 17 to 32 is where we'll start. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to look into your word. We thank you that you have given us your word to instruct us, to correct us, to keep us on the right path. Father, tonight as we look at how we can avoid grieving the Holy Spirit, I pray you'd encourage us and challenge us. I pray that your will would be accomplished in each one of our lives as we submit ourselves to the work that you want to do. We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're talking about grieve not the Spirit. We learned over the past few weeks some important principles to keep in mind here. And the first one is that salvation, we are regenerated, we are baptized, we are indwelt, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Those things happen up right upon salvation. When Christ died on the cross and rose again, before he ascended back to the Father to intercede for us, he kept his promise to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in the hearts of believers. And the Holy Spirit's role that we looked at last week is to develop Christian character, to enable us for service, to teach us, to promote peace and thanksgiving, to lead us, to witness with our spirit, and to make intercession for us. Secondly, as a believer, our responsibility is to yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, allow him to do that work in our hearts that needs to be done, which means we are filled with the Holy Spirit. If we yield ourselves, that's the filling of the Holy Spirit, where it says in Ephesians 5:18. We use the analogy of a cup. We can fill our cup with the things of God that will help us grow, or we can fill it with the things of the world, the flesh and the devil, which is going to cause us to be out of fellowship with God and without peace, joy, and contentment in our hearts. Thirdly, we've looked at because the Holy Spirit permanently indwells us, it is vital that we maintain a daily walk with him. And if we choose to walk in our own way in the flesh, we cause the Spirit to be grieved because he desires to have fellowship with us. When Adam and Eve sinned, I believe that God was more grieved than he was angry. God had to fulfill, he had to keep the promise that he'd made to Adam, that he could not live. He had to suffer death because of his sin. When Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah for his family, when Lot chose, rather than live out in the plains, Lot chose to go out and live in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe God was grieved. And I believe we see that in the fact that God sent his angels back into Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah to pull Lot and his family out of that city, out of the destruction that was going to happen. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, God was grieved by his sin. He sent Nathan the prophet to confront him. You see, if God was angry, he would have just maybe just like we would do when we're angry, we just kind of close ourselves off to that person. That's not what God does. God was grieved, I believe, and he sent people to confront. So what is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Here in verse 30, it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." It's pretty clear. It's a three-letter word that all of us know. It's sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, we just read those verses, and then also in chapter 5, lists several things that we are to get rid of out of our lives so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We are to walk and talk differently than we did before we were saved. We are to put off those sins of lying, anger, theft, evil speaking, evil thoughts towards others, evil feelings, malice, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Those are things that aren't to be part of our life anymore. God has placed in each one of us a conscience to know right from wrong. When we trust Christ as our Savior and receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, that human conscience gives way to a higher standard of the holiness of God. And then we have a new standard, a better standard. And as a believer, we either lived with a grieved spirit or we lived with an ungrieved spirit. So tonight we need to look at some things. What do we need to understand about grieving the Spirit by our sin? First of all, we see that we need to understand there are consequences to sin. One of the consequences of grieving the Spirit by our sin is that the ministry of the Spirit changes from ministering through us as he desires to do, as we talked about last week, how he develops things and enables us and works and teaches us and leads us. That's the work he desires to do. But instead of being able to do that, then the Spirit has to go to a pleading ministry with us, convicting ministry with us, to get us back on track. Because he can't work through us when we're grieving him, when we're sinning against him. Now, some people believe that when we sin against the Holy Spirit, he leaves us. No, that's not his ministry anymore. He did that. He did work in that way in the Old Testament when he came upon somebody for a time and then he left them. Okay, it wasn't a matter of sin at that point. It was how God used the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. But now he comes, he indwells a believer permanently. And so now he dwells, he never leaves us. You know, somebody asked me the other day, and I said, no, he never does. He's always there. John 14, verse 16. Look at that passage. You know, and this is a good verse to talk about eternal security, too. Because being the Holy Spirit is there once we're saved. Okay. Verse 16 of John chapter 14. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's there forever. And so once we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, and once he indwells our hearts, we're not getting rid of him. And we may walk in a way that's not pleasing to him, but we're not getting rid of him. He's there and he's going to continue to do the work to get us back on the right track. But that's a comfort as well, knowing he's there with us. He's there to help us. And also another passage we see here, Ephesians chapter 1. And this also emphasizes the fact that we are sealed. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, talking about Christ. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And it was neat because on Friday I had a chance to talk to a physical therapist about that and how that once we're saved, we're always saved. And I asked her, I said, how many times did Jesus die on the cross? She says, well, once. So how many times do we need to be saved? Well, once. Yeah. And once we're saved until Christ takes us to heaven. We're always saved for all eternity. And it was just neat to see that the Lord work in that situation, that time. And it just, like I said, I continue to pray the Lord will continue to water that seed. But we have the Holy Spirit with us. And when we sin, we don't lose the Holy Spirit. But his ministry has to change from what he wants to do in our lives. Another consequence of sin, another consequence of grieving the Holy Spirit is what we lose. When we sin, we lose the power, the joy, and the communion with God. See, God has given us a free will to choose the direction that we will go. and the way we're going to live. And however, each choice carries consequences. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? We have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. On the other hand, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And David knew what that was like, and when he sinned and he hadn't confessed his sin. He says in Psalm chapter 32, verse 5, he said he was in torment, really inside, because he had unconfessed sin there. And once he confessed that sin, he was restored to fellowship. So if we choose to sin, we leave the place of fellowship with God. Why did God have to cast Adam and Eve out of the garden? Because the garden was a place of fellowship with God. And when they sinned, their sin broke that fellowship. And because of that, sin could not be allowed in the presence of God. And so God said, you'll be out of the garden. In Joshua chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, Joshua had just, they had just won the Battle of Jericho. The next battle, they think, oh, we've got this one. So they go and they fight against Ai. And they're sorely defeated. And Joshua's like, what's going on? And God says, I'm not going to be with you anymore unless you get the sin out of the camp. What was wrong? God says, you've got to get the sin out of the way of me being able to work. And so he tells Joshua, get the sin out of the camp. And it was interesting as you read that chapter, how God narrows it down and narrows it down and narrows it down. Says, Joshua, it's right there. And he dealt with the sin. When we sin, we lose the power of God in our life to resist temptation. We become weaker in our spiritual life. Sometimes when people entertain sin, they blame God for not helping them. But they have to admit that it was them who left the place of blessing, left the place of communion and power. It wasn't God who left. God is always, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never leaves his place. It's us who leave. It's us who wander off. Another thing that is lost when we sin is our joy. Psalm 51:12, David says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And that when David sinned, he lost his joy. He lost that fellowship. There was no more joy in his life because he knew there was something not right with him and God. He lost that. He says, God, please. And he confessed his sin and said, God, now please restore that joy. He said, I'm missing it. I need it. And God restored that to him. In Galatians 5:22, it lists joy as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not able to work in and through us because of sin, we lose that joy. We lose the fruit. You know, you think of a fruit tree. We had several fruit trees in our yard out in Montana. We've got an apple tree in our yard here. And you know, when there's disease in that tree, what happens? It doesn't yield good fruit at all. And in fact, the tree we've got here in our yard in Ogden, this tree was huge. It was a huge tree. And it would have beautiful blossoms in the spring. But by the time it got to fruit, the fruit was wormy, it'd fall early, and it was just no good. And so I went the other day and pruned it down to a little bit of nothingness. But what I'm hoping by that is to get that stuff out of there so that tree will produce good fruit. And when we sin, we lose that opportunity to produce fruit, the Holy Spirit to work in us to produce fruit. And so we need to realize there are consequences to sin. So what has to be done when we grieve the Spirit? What do we do when we know we grieve the Holy Spirit, when we know we've sinned? Well, we see here that, secondly, understand the one way to restoration. There's only one way to be restored to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God. We lose out on so much when we grieve the Spirit. We shortchange our potential for God when we choose to walk in the flesh. But the mercy of God through the Holy Spirit still desires fellowship with us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin in order to give us that opportunity to be restored to Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to have that fellowship. And He brings us back to the place where we can be filled or influenced by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it gives us assurance there that we can be forgiven, and it involves one thing, confession. But this applies specifically to the believer. Let me explain that. If you look at John chapter 3, turn with me to John chapter 3 real quick. Familiar verses. First one we probably all could say together, but John chapter 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When an unsaved person realizes their lost condition, the Bible instruction for them to be saved is to believe. They have to believe. They have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, to believe that that's the only way for them to enter into that relationship with God. And as an unsaved person, they have to come to that realization. They have to believe. But on the other hand, the way for a believer to be restored to fellowship with God is through confession. You see, an unbeliever can't be restored to fellowship. Why? They've never been in fellowship with God. Okay? But a believer can be restored to fellowship by confessing their sin, according to 1 John 1:9. Again, Psalm 32:5, David didn't know the forgiveness and fellowship of God until he confessed his sin. And it's not enough to say, well, God, please forgive me all my sin, because there's really not much acknowledging of any specific sin there. You know, some have people tell me, well, forgiveness is automatic. No, forgiveness isn't automatic. We have to confess our sin. There are a couple things to keep in mind here. First of all, be specific. Call the sin by name. Call it what it is. And we may say, God, I've sinned and I've had a wrong attitude toward that person today. God, please, I confess that as sin. And you know, I know it's a terminology thing, but technically we don't have to say, God, please forgive me. If we first say, God, I know that's sin. God, it's sin. I know that. Because what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess, he will forgive. So we don't ask God, don't have to ask God to do his part. We simply have to do our part and confess it as sin. We may say, God, I've sinned in my thoughts or a fear or my lack of faith in this situation. Again, name sin what it is. By generalizing it, we tend to not look at it as being so bad. You know, say, God, please confess, I confess all my sin. Well, let's be specific. Say, God, I was wrong with this. I confess that as sin. And God says he will forgive. Secondly, not only be specific, but confess known sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we need to confess it immediately. We need to get rid of it right away. If we don't, we begin to carry around that guilt, which often leads to committing other sin. And we fall further away from our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God, and our walk with him. And this principle applies to both God and to others. See, sin is first of all against God, so we should confess it to him first. David in Psalm 51 says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But we should confess it to God first. But if we sinned against a brother or sister in Christ, we need to confess it to them and restore that fellowship. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And so, if we were to come to church and there's something between us and a fellow believer, if we were to have our devotions and there's something between us and a fellow believer, what does he tell us to do? Make it right. Get it right. Confess it as sin. Get it right. One thing I believe we will find to be true is that when we confess our sin to God, he'll give us the grace to deal with offenses to our fellow man. So we confess those things as sin. And sometimes it may not be a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's an unbelieving boss. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a relative. But you know, I believe we'll do less damage by going to them and confessing that and making it right than we would if we just let it go. Than we would if we just kind of say, oh, it'll pass, or time will cover it, or no, it won't. It'll just ruin that relationship. So I believe it's better for us to get it right as a testimony, to confess those things when we offend a brother or sister, or we offend somebody that's an unbeliever. And God doesn't expect us to confess sin that we are not aware of. We're only to confess known sin. I mean, God's not going to hold us accountable if we don't know we've sinned. But the Holy Spirit is there to prompt us and say, that was wrong. And so when he does that, we say, okay, and we confess it as sin. Confess known sin. You say, what if I'm not sure? What if I don't know if it was sin or not? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to his prompting. Ask him to help you to see that in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we ask God to do that work in our hearts, ask God to search our hearts and help us to see so we can be a clean vessel. So how do we avoid grieving the Spirit? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. Members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? How do we avoid grieving the Spirit? Don't give place to sin. Don't let it have any room in our hearts. We still have that old nature that wants us to do wrong, that wants us to walk according to the flesh, but we can't give place to that. Don't allow any of it in our cup. And when we sin, confess it immediately. As I was studying this, I thought of an illustration, so I just want to illustrate this for you quickly. Try not to make a mess. So every day we start with one of these. Start with an empty cup. What are we going to do to fill it with? We talked about that last week. Are we going to fill it with God working in our lives and his word and his truths? And are we going to fill it with ourselves, with the world, the flesh, and the devil? So say we get up in the morning, we have our devotions, and begin to fill it with God's word. And then maybe we come and we speak to somebody at work, give them a chance to share truths of God about with them, and we begin to keep filling ourselves and allowing ourselves, yielding into the Holy Spirit, allowing him to fill us, allowing him to use us and influence us. Then something comes up in the middle of the day and the boss comes in and says, I need you to do this. It's like, oh. What happens? Somebody want to drink this?
No.
It's clean dirt. But what happened? We lost our effectiveness, didn't we? And we could, you know what? I could fill this cup the rest of the way up. But is my fellowship with God going to be what it needs to be? No. What has to happen? I confess it as sin and ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and yield myself to Him again. Because you know what? If I allow sin in my life, I can't be useful for God and I can't be useful to other people. And you know what? It talks in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, I was a stranger, you took me in. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick and you came and ministered unto me. And they said, how is that the case? He says, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. You know what? I can't be effective for God if my cup's not clean. I can't give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name if my cup's not clean. I mean, if I come up with a cup that's dirty and polluted, my ministry can't be effective. So I have to confess it and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse, to fill me again, to make me useful for Him. So how do we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? Don't allow any sin in our life. Yeah, we're going to sin. We're human. We have that sin nature in our lives. We got to confess it so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He wants to do so much in our lives. He wants to use us in such a great way. We got to stay away from the things that are going to keep us from being useful for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your word. Father, we thank You for the truths that You teach us. Father, I pray that You would help us to allow You to fill our cup with Your truth, the things that You can place in our lives so that we can be useful for You, we can have that fellowship, that sweet fellowship with You, and then we can be effective in ministering to others. Father, please help us to keep sin confessed so that we can see the potential that You have in our lives and we can be effective. We thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.